Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. You can join us on the Harcourts open line. The number is 13 13 32 for all things real estate. Speak to Harcourts if you've got something you'd like to throw up on the agenda with Matthew Richardson, who's not far away from joining us. Now's your opportunity, 13 13 32. Before we go to Richo, though, Scoop, you've got some breaking news, a scoop in many, many ways.
Hello, Jerry. The Brisbane Lions have entered the race for Joe Danaher, is what we can...
I like it when you get a story.
...report to you tonight. The man that was obviously well-courted by the Sydney Swans, then requested a trade, was denied that trade, hasn't been able to get on the park. Now, there's a caveat with this, Jared, is that both Brisbane and indeed his own club, who are yet to offer him a contract extension, want to actually see him play some footy this year before they go down the lines of negotiations. He's obviously a very difficult player to surmise in as far as value, Jared, because he hasn't played.
He's got no value right now. Right now he's got no value because he can't play.
That's right. So if he can get on the park, and Essendon continuously say he's getting better, had that calf hiccup a couple of weeks ago. But this is the interesting part of the whole story, Jared, is that the Brisbane Lions, really since David Noble arrived there from Adelaide, have become one of the destination clubs in the competition. They lured Lachie Neale away. Yep. They lured Luke Hodge out of retirement.
Charlie Cameron.
Grant Birchall. He brought Charlie Cameron with him from Adelaide. Yep. So the Noble effect is what some players are privately referring to it as, is certainly becoming a bit of a thing.
It is one of the more extraordinary injuries I've seen in football in my time.
Danaher's.
Yep. Because soft tissue is going to heal in a matter of weeks. So we got to tick that off. So if you're going to have surgery, that's going to heal in a matter of months. So we can tick that off.
Yeah.
So what is the injury? That is the question that remains.
You're not convinced it's osteitis pubis?
I've got no idea what it is.
Yep.
I mean, if it's osteitis pubis, surely over a 2-year period you can get on top of that. I mean, there hasn't been anybody else in the game that's been inflicted or affected to this length.
He had surgery, the same surgery that both Dan Menzel and Buddy Franklin had by the same surgeon in Sydney. That's when he went to Tom Harley's house.
Understand that.
And it hasn't worked, has it? So he hasn't been able to play.
So if it hasn't worked, was the diagnosis incorrect? I mean, this is the point I keep making about this injury. If you've had all of these things tried and tried and tried, are they nailing the diagnosis? Because if you've had surgery and it hasn't worked, what does it say?
Just before we get to Richard, I'm keen to get his point, his perspective on whether he'd be a good fit at the Brisbane Lions from an on-field perspective. The other part of this story, Jared, is that there is a link between Brisbane and Joe.
Yes.
Now, the head of medical at the Brisbane Lions, a guy by the name of Peter Blanche, was the Australian Institute of Sport for a long time. He was the head of medical at Essendon in 2017, the year that Danaher was All-Australian full forward and won the best and fairest. So clearly there is some sort of feeling from the Danaher camp that if anyone's going to get him right, it might be the guy that last saw him at the peak of his powers.
But by saying that, Scoop, the implication is he's still not right.
That's right. True.
And if he's
The mystery, Jerry.
And if he's not playing, then he's not right. So the question is, if you're trying to recruit him, when is he going to be right? We'll put all those questions to this bloke. Great to have Richo in the house. Big game on tonight, Richo. There's so much at stake. If the Suns are going to continue to rise, they've got a win. They've got an opportunity. They're in pretty good form. The Bombers have aided and assisted by resting or managing Michael Hurley, and that's obviously a conscious decision by them. But it augurs well for a very exciting game.
Yeah, it does. Looks really good, this game tonight. Looking forward to watching it. The Suns have been in every game. They just haven't been winning the last 5 or 6 weeks. They've only won that one game. So they need to win tonight, I think. If they still have any hope of playing finals, they definitely need to win. We know Essendon's got the game in hand. If they lose, there's still a chance. But
if you were in the Essendon camp, would you manage Hurley? And let's just say it's a management. It's a sort of considered rest.
That's what they've said it is.
Yeah, considered rest. Yeah. Would you just hold on to him for one more week and sort of put all your eggs in the Suns' basket, given that they've got to play the Tigers next week?
Probably, yeah. I think you just got to bank wins. You've got to get the wins before you start managing players. And they're not in the eight, and they want to play finals desperately. So probably not. We don't know the whole story. That's a good round coming up to round 12. But just on...
Let's get over one round before we get into the next one.
Well, you don't know when they start and end at the moment. The whole Joe Danaher thing, there's only 6 weeks left for him to actually get some game time and for him to come in and then find some form to get Essendon looking at him and to get Brisbane seeing where he's at.
And you'd have to play some time in the twos, in scratch matches, at least two, you'd think.
So at the most, even if he started playing next weekend, he's only going to get a month of footy in, and you would think it would take him a month. I just know as a big player, you need a month just to find your touch. So it's a tough position for Joe to be in, isn't it?
So a quick straw poll, like your feedback, folks. 13 13 32 is the number to Harcourt's open line. Two questions. You can give us an expanded answer if you like, or you can just simply say yes or no, or yes, etc. And I'll go to you first, Richo. The first question is, would you like to see a footy frenzy again next year? And the second question is, do you like shorter quarters? Because I've got to say, I haven't noticed the change in the length of quarters. And if they said to me next year we're going with the same length quarters, I'd say, no problems, folks. So 13 13 32 is the number. Do you like shorter quarters or not? And do you like the footy frenzy? And would you like to see it repeated next year?
I wouldn't like to see it repeated to this extent, but I don't mind having Thursday night footy every week and potentially one other night if you did want to have a Monday night occasionally, but not every night. I think you need a break midweek. At least Tuesday, Wednesday, you need a couple of nights off footy, I think, to get it, just to get a break between rounds and to reassess and move forward. But definitely Thursday night. When the shorter quarters first started, I would have been a definite no.
Yep.
I'm still probably a no, but it's probably started to wear off a little bit now as the season's gone on.
I'm a strong yes on the shorter quarters. I don't know why, Scoop, but I have not noticed any sort of change in my enjoyment of watching the game because they're shorter if they're great games.
Yep.
But I enjoy them if they're rubbish.
Are they too short, though, if you don't have any goals? There's been some real short ones.
Well, we've had a lot of scoring, but I think that's more to do with coaching than it is with the length of the quarters.
Yeah, I'm probably a no on the shorter quarters, but I'm probably a no, Jared, because every time I've found Carlton needing to try to get back into the game, they're usually running out of time.
It's harder to come back in games now, isn't it?
But what about the reverse, when
Carlton are actually a slightly better side and they're holding on to the lead and somebody else is coming back?
Like they were in Geelong.
The siren goes.
But it was really happy. No, I still like the longer quarters, Jared, but I'm with you. I'm not sure it actually...
What?
I'm not... But what do we actually gain from the shorter quarters, Jared, is the question.
I think it wraps up dud games more quickly.
Okay.
And it gives players players the capacity to be able to play more games off a shorter break.
Don't you think the TV networks will want the longer quarters back, more advertising?
Not worried about them at this stage.
Absolutely they will.
With his radio mic in front of me.
Yeah. But broadcasters will want 35 games a year instead of 17. So, I mean, they're always going to want more, yes. But, Jared, if we're going to get more players playing more games off shorter breaks and playing more game time, if I'm seeing better players for longer, I'm happy with shorter quarters, if that's the trade-off.
Okay, I'm hearing you swing, Scoop. You're a swinging voter. Out to Shepparton. What do you think, Peter? Shorter quarters and a footy frenzy, yes or no?
Shorter quarters, no, because it's not allowing blokes to get tired. Like a lot of teams are red time teams. They're known for it, and they finish off quarters well. And the footy frenzy, I don't mind it if they could do it for a week or so, maybe 2 weeks mid-year, because the midweek footy to sit down and watch on TV is fantastic.
But the trouble you got, Peter, is you can't have one without the other, I suspect. You won't be able to have a footy frenzy unless you keep the quarters shorter. But I enjoy your thoughts. Johnny's in Kalgoorlie. Welcome to you, Johnny.
Yeah, good day, mate. How are you going?
All righty.
Look, I've got a query in that term. I'm bloody sick of all these rule changes every year, mate.
Which one are you worried about this year? Just the holding the ball, pushing the back? Which one?
Exactly my point. They make change the rules to make the game free-flowing and high-scoring. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. I mean, why do we keep changing it every year?
Richo?
Well, they're obviously tinkering with rules and changing interpretations to get, you know, congestion, to get rid of congestion, to get the ball out into space and not have as many stoppages, et cetera, et cetera.
Has it worked though, Richard?
I don't think so. And the one that's really annoying me now is just the incorrect disposal. You just simply don't have to dispose of the footy. You can basically drop it out now. You can just drop it or you can just place it on the ground and push it out. You don't have to dispose of it, and I don't like that.
So you're saying separate to the one that gets knocked out in the tackle? Yeah. You think there are instances where players are tackled, they're able to handball it, but they don't.
There was one up in Brisbane on Saturday night where the Dogs laid a tackle. It wasn't in congestion. It was a one-on-one tackle. No handball was made. Clearly missed his hand. It went down the other. It was at a crucial stage. The Dogs were actually pushing a bit. Went straight down the other end and a goal. You just can't miss those.
Jared, do you think the holding the ball rule and the change to the machinations has opened the game up?
No.
Nor do I. So I'm happy with them changing the rules if it works, but it hasn't. So do we need to just hold on to the rules and do what you've been saying for a number of years now and change other things like zones?
Well, I'm not sure about what they can introduce. I suspect there'll be some things tried and some things thrown up at the end of this season. But, I mean, if Port Adelaide win the flag and Port Adelaide beat St Kilda winning the flag and it's 14 goals to 12 goals in a shortened period, then who knows, Scoop? Maybe the coaches who really determine whether or not there's congestion or not, and often it's which sides are playing against each other as against which individual coaches are coaching, then, you know, who knows? They may just put everything on hold once again. Sam's on the road before we take our first break. Welcome to you, Sam. Yes or no?
Good evening. No and no to both of those answers. Yep. But the one thing I like is a rolling fixture. That can stay. I like that.
Yeah, that's what we've found out, Sam, is a lot of the things that we were told were impossible to do, we now know are possible to do. I mean, we don't know where the grand final is, Richo. And we're going to find out within about 4 weeks of play remaining. We don't know where we're playing in 3 weeks' time.
The only issue I have with the rolling fixture is for people who plan their year, they've got their one holiday and they want to go and watch their footy team. How do they plan that if you've got a four-week sort of rolling
situation? You're trying to organise annual leave, trying to organise the kids and school holidays.
So you've got to think of the fans, and that's footy's all about the fans.
Matty Richardson is here with us for Macca's McDelivery for a Macca's craving. And Kia, Australia's best seven-year warranty. Todd Goldstein. Now, I tell you what, Jared, he's all Australian form at the moment.
Yeah, there's about four ruckmen in all Australian form.
Forget about Gorn and Grundy. This man's ahead of them, I reckon.
Nick Nat.
Hello, there's a turn.
Well,
Richo's pushing up Nick now. I like that.
Sports Day continues after this.
Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Richardson is here with Jared and myself for McDonald's. McDelivery for when a Macca's craving hits. I tell you what, Jared, I'm looking forward to getting our next guest on because since he started his all-Australian sort of form this year, we've been putting in a request week after week.
Yes.
Can we get Todd Goldstein on?
And we've been waiting we've got an all-Australian selector in the room before we welcome him to the microphone. Welcome to you, Todd.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on.
Well, you're going to have to put your best foot forward now because Richo is assessing all elements both on the field and off the field. And at this stage, on the field, you're doing a great job. Do you feel like you're having your best season, or given that you've won a best and fairest before and have been All-Australian in 2015, it's just another good year?
I think I'm having a different year to 2015, but I think this is the most consistent, the most well-rounded season I've had. I think I'm... Probably that year I was probably doing very well in the ruck and things like that, but I think my impact around the ground wasn't quite as much as I'm having this year, which has been the pleasing aspect.
Yeah, Todd, your clearance rate this year is exceptional. I know going into last week's round of footy, you were leading clearances in the competition. You've always been good at it, but have you improved in that area this year?
Yeah, I think it's about being working on what my strengths are, and my strengths are once the ball hits the ground, being able to get involved and try and be that fourth midfielder. And I think that's what we're going to take to another level this year. And, you know, working a lot with our midfield coaches, Joe Moore and Lee Adams, in trying to make that a real strength of mine.
How's the spirit around the place, Todd? Because you have been under the microscope from just about every element of the media, talking you down and talking a fairly bleak short term as the rebuild, if the rebuild is on the desk, takes hold.
I mean, we're probably lucky being up here in Queensland that we are quite sheltered from a lot of that media. So you don't see a whole heap of it. But look, it's to be expected when you've lost 8 out of 9 games. And I think that's probably the thing that affects the mood the most is that, you know, we're here to win games of footy and we haven't been doing that. So I think the boys are finding it tough at the moment. But everyone's very, very motivated to try and improve and try and get better, because we know, you know, we're not, none of us are happy with how we're going.
Todd, and it's exceptional time around the competition for ruckmen. So many ruckmen playing well. Probably the top four, yourself, Gorn Grundy and Nick Natanui. Who do you find the most challenging to play on? They're all a little bit different when you look at those other three guys. Who do you find the most challenging?
Oh, I think it's hard. They are all very, very different players. So I think each one of their strengths is a challenge. But you know, I think Max, just sheer size, is really hard to get around. You know, you can obviously, you can try and negate some of what Nick Nat does and the way Grundy plays, but you know, I think Max is just sheer size is a real challenge.
Todd, a couple of years ago, you were strongly courted by the Cats, and you know they're at the top of the table, so you can't go backwards. But the same, if the same challenge and the same opportunity arose, given that the club is essentially being forced into a rebuild, and it sounds as if that's the way everybody's going to be heading, and your good self is not going to be there when you next play serious finals. Would you be up for a trade if you could get orchestrate a trade that North Melbourne were happy with?
Oh, look, I'm pretty happy where I am. I was very content to stay at the North Melbourne Footy Club. The only reason there was any doubt was because obviously went through a bit of a transition period, losing Brad and Cameron Joyce, our head of footy. So that was probably where the sort of the looking that other clubs had was. But look, I'm really confident in the leaders of this footy club that we can turn this around. I think although we're not performing as well as we'd like at the moment, I'm very confident that we can turn that around very quickly. You know, we're missing a number of key players. So if we had our best 22, I think we'd be looking at a very, very different season. So I'm very comfortable. I'm excited to help these young blokes get better and see what they can do. I mean, just seeing players like Cam Zerha and in the midfield with me, Jai Simpkin, has been unbelievable this year. And I'm really excited. But okay. I'm very comfortable. I'm very committed. I'm really excited to hopefully be a one club player.
Did you think you lacked effort? Not you personally, but as a group. Did Reece Shaw focus on a lack of effort that was evident against Melbourne on Sunday night?
No, I don't think our group struggles for effort. I think, you know, we were making just basic errors that, you know, some of it was just skill execution, some of it was decision making, and they're the things we've got to drill down on and making sure that, you know, we're not trying to invent things. We're not trying to go for that fancy, really good looking kick. It's just taking the simple option, the short 15, 20 metre kick, and that's all we need to do. And I think the thing that the coaches preach a lot is that the sexy kick is the easy kick. And that's something that, you know, the group's really got to drill down on. I'm sure as the week goes on, we're watching more and more vision of opportunities where we could have just done an easy drop punt rather than trying to kick off the side of our boot and lay someone out.
Effort, probably the wrong word, Scoop, but energy may well
energy,
be
yep.
the right one.
Hey, Goldie, congratulations on your year so far. What have you noticed in the coach this year? There's a lot of positivity around North Melbourne. Obviously, the positivity is there when a new coach takes over. But now in the midst of a pretty tough year, and he's still a very new coach, what have you noticed from him?
I think his resilience. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him at the moment, and I don't think any new coach could ask for a harder year to be in charge of your first year of coaching. It's, you know, the challenges that have been thrown up on and off the field have been immense, and I think Shorey overall is doing really well. I think we all have the moments where you're a bit flat or a bit down or a bit, you know, a bit stressed, but you know, he's very, very keen to keep the dialogue going. He's really good at connecting with the players, and that's something he's really big on. So, you know, even if you do feel like he's not quite where you want him to be, the door's open. He's happy to have a chat, and he takes that feedback on board. So I think just the way he interacts with all of us is great, and you know, he definitely is steering the ship in the right direction. We just need to make sure that we're following him.
And Todd, you're an All-Australian ruckman second, but you're a father first. We can hear one of the three little ones in the background. How's it been in family life in the hub?
I don't think that's my mom that I'm actually screaming. I've only got my 4-month-old, so she's pretty quiet. The other three, unfortunately, was a bit hard to get them up here. But look, it's been obviously a challenge for us to be, you know, all in the little hotel rooms and things like that. It's been not the home life that you're used to, but look, I'm really thankful that I've got my wife and my youngest here. It's obviously a challenge for me, not seeing my other kid for nearly 6 weeks now. So that's a challenge, but I've got a great support network, and you know, I think we all appreciate having some of the kids here and that are able to distract us away from our footy side of things, which is nice.
Surely, Goldie, given that you're 8'9", they've given you the penthouse suite.
No, look, I'm happy not to have that. There's more people that need the room than I do. We think there's some kids, people with three or four kids here, so they get the bigger room. But look, I'm not complaining. Our beds are fine.
Goldie, what are you keeping busy with during the day when you're not training or you haven't got a meeting? What sort of stuff are you keeping yourself busy with in between games?
Yeah, well, I've actually started going back to uni this year. So when I'm not doing footy stuff and I'm not doing family time, I've been just trying to tick off a couple of subjects of a law degree. So, that's keeping me pretty busy as well.
Law degree? It's unruckman-like law degree, I reckon.
Look, some of us need to change that perception somehow. We've got to do one player at a time.
Good stuff, Goldie.
Hey, Goldie, we know it's been tough for the Kangaroos on the field. We appreciate you coming on, as always, and you personally are enduring an outstanding year. So we hope that continues, and good luck against the Lions on Saturday afternoon.
Thanks for having me on.
Todd Goldstein, a genuine candidate for All Australian honours. Richo, if law is unruckman-like, yeah, what job did you think best personifies the ruckman? I'll give you some time to think about that.
Well, I shouldn't have said that because...
We'll come back after the break and Richo is going to tell us exactly what a ruckman should do for work. Thanks to DrinkWise, we're all a little stressed and anxious at the moment, particularly Richo. But remember, if drinking, please do so in moderation. Matthew Richardson is here for Macca's Mac Delivery, for when a Macca's craving hits. This is Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Kia is offering value you can trust in Australia's best 7-year warranty across the entire Kia range. Don't go anywhere. When you return, more with Matthew Richardson. Of course, yes, no, not far away. Although very good reviews from last week, Richo, when Jared wasn't here. Anyway, no, I shouldn't say that. And we'll check in on any late changes at Metricon as well ahead of the Suns and Bombers clash as round 11 concludes tonight. And some injury news significantly, both at the St Kilda Footy Club and at the Western Bulldogs. So that's all coming up on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Pretty news thanks to Polaris. Polaris has now sold over 75,000 off-road vehicles in Australia. Now, Jay Gresham, Richo and Jared, really bad story.
Savage blow, isn't it?
Yeah. He reported soreness in his back after the loss against the Cats on Monday night. He had scans. Unfortunately, it's shown a stress fracture. So the Saints are saying that he's out for a significant period of time, but you would think, Jared, stress fractures in the back at this point.
6 weeks.
Yep, and we're around 11, so...
Big part of
it's not out for the year, though.
If that finals, they could get back for then, but big part of their style of play and system at the moment, I reckon, the way Gresham plays, so he's a huge out.
Yeah, and particularly, you know, with Hanbury already on the sidelines and Jones had a... Oh, they really missed Jones on Monday night. Indeed. His spark. I know he had to be managed, but you had another one.
The whole club lacked spark, didn't it?
Yeah, well, they just... I'm not sure, Jared, if the shorter break had much to do with it, but from the naked eye, that's what it looked like.
Yep.
That Geelong
they lacked energy.
Every team's had one of those real flat nights, I reckon, over this period.
Yeah. Yep, they have. And Jason Johannesson is now in doubt for the Western Bulldogs clash with Adelaide on Sunday. He rolled his ankle at training this afternoon. You would think with a man of his prestige, Jared, and given the fact that they're playing the Crows, he will probably be rested.
Yeah, you just can't underestimate the Crows. They played pretty well last night. They pushed Collingwood that to find another level or two to get across the line. But tell me about the Bulldogs, Richo, because they are a club that has had some quick ups and then quick downs and then back ups. They play young, they change their list a lot, and at the moment they're sort of blowing what was a genuine opportunity to play finals.
Yeah, look, they need to have high energy every week. Their style of play is high energy, as you just said. The Saints didn't have any the other night. Well, they need to have it every night, and so perhaps this block of games and the shorter breaks aren't helping them have that high energy. They need to win the contested footy by a lot, I reckon, each week, and they haven't been able to do that in the last three or four weeks. I thought they were okay against Brisbane, but they were starting everything from their back line.
Yeah.
They were poor out of the centre, and it's just not sustainable. We know that. I mean, they got the first three goals all on rebound, but you just thought, gee, that's not going to be sustainable for the whole night, and it wasn't. So, yeah, I'm still worried about their forward line. I mean, Norton is a good young player. Mm. I think he's going to be a very good player. And Josh Bruce has obviously struggled a little bit as well. So just the key forward issue that's always been there is still a big issue as well.
Shacky long term? No, as a future at the Dogs?
I'm starting to think perhaps not. It's been a while. He's been around long enough now, and if he's not making an impact by now, maybe he never will.
Jared, do you think he needs a fresh start somewhere? I know he's already been at his second club.
I don't think he needs a fresh start. What he needs to do is get more athletic. He needs to
get fitter.
Get fitter. Whatever it takes, he's got to have more involvement in more contests.
Yep.
He's got to put more pressure on. It's all ground level stuff. That kid can mark. We know that, and he can kick okay. But it's tough taking marks. So
It's never been harder to mark an inside 50, and if that's all you've got, you're in a bit of trouble.
So you've got to produce in the pressure department. And we've seen Tom Hawkins. Tom Hawkins at 32 is applying more pressure than he did when he was 22, I suspect.
Yeah, and he's lighter and leaner.
And he's having a fantastic season right now.
Yeah, he is. Hawksy's movement is really good.
Yep.
He's always been such a smart player, but he's leaner, and he's added something to his game into his early 30s, so that shows you how professional he is.
Cats are $10 for the flag. Are they undervalue or are they overvalue?
They'll finish top four, the Cats, and they do every year, but the test will come in the final if they can keep playing that game out of their back half with the patient ball use. And the Saints let them play it the other night far too easily, chip it in their back half, get settled, control the ball. In the big finals, if they can't do that, that's when we're going to find out. And that's what's let them down, I guess, the last few years.
Still to come on Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. We'll head around the grounds and up next. Oh. There's been more anticipated. Yes, no, Richo.
Now, the ruckman, I would have thought more a bricky, a plasterer, or a scaffolder for a ruckman.
I've had a lot of texts in the last 5 minutes. You've offended a lot of ruckmen.
I know. Michael Green, former Richmond
lawyer.
Premiership ruckman, not happy.
Yes, no, Richo, after this.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Richardson is here for McDonald's. You can get a free Big Mac with orders of $25 or more via McDelivery. That is good value, Richo. And you can join us on the Harcourts open line 13 13 32. I thought that Jared might have given me the reins to Yes No Richo again after last week.
No.
But I've just been moved back to the bench.
Bluey Hampshire was a plumber too. Damien Munkers.
Stop trying to get back on the good books.
Your feedback was a lot different to mine for the Yes No Richo, I've got to say. Scoop. Richo, hand on heart. It is time now for Yes No with the famous Richo. Despite Monday's loss, St Kilda is still a premiership contender. The Dogs, based on pre-season expectation, have been the most disappointing side of 2020 to date.
No.
Fremantle can still make the finals.
No.
Peter Wright from the Gold Coast should seek a move at the end of the season.
Yes.
Hawthorn need to revisit their draft trade strategy to avoid bottoming out and accept their medicine.
Yes.
The Festival of Footy should become an annual part of the fixture.
No.
Collingwood should make a genuine play for Ben Brown to address their key forward issues.
No.
The Bombers have taken a massive risk managing Michael Hurley with Cale Hooker already out through injury tonight. Yes.
Yes
or no?
Yes.
Carlton are on the right track and will play finals football in 2020.
No.
Carlton are on the right track and will play finals footy in 2021.
Yes.
Jesse Hogan will be a success as a defender.
Yes.
North Melbourne should throw the kitchen sink at Zach Williams to get him to the club.
Yes.
Well, in that case, that one doesn't apply. You wouldn't give a first-round pick for Joe Danaher, yes or no?
No.
If Essendon lose tonight, they won't make the eight.
Yes.
Dusty should have been suspended for a week, given he's had 3 fines for punches this year.
Well, we know the answer to this.
No.
The shorter quarter should stay, yes or no?
No.
The Kangas won't win another game this year.
No.
The mayor of Port Phillip, who's on 400,000 large, is from Adelaide and now is in Adelaide doing his job via Zoom. should he stay there and apply for a job at the Crows, who have also made a lot of silly decisions lately? Yes or no?
So he's working from Adelaide and he's the mayor of Port Phillip.
Indeed.
Yeah, we'll stay there.
He's on how much, Jared?
400.
Oh, you can't. You've got to be here in a time of crisis as a leader.
I'm enjoying your editorial, Richard, and I didn't even have to write it as a question. If everyone else can't work, Sally Capp's revenue raises, the parking ticket officers should not be working also, Richo. Oh,
absolutely, yes, they shouldn't be working.
There should be a 15% leeway in time consideration for parking tickets, which would have meant you wouldn't have been fined, Richo, yes or no?
Yes.
David Teague...
Not about me, though. Okay. It's about a medical workers.
Yeah. Indeed it was. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yep, David Teague is the right philosophy, not gifting games to high draft picks.
Yes.
The AFL have a moral obligation to give the grand final... to the Gabba.
Yes.
The Crows won't win another game.
Yes.
They won't even win a game. The Dockers will play finals in 2021, given the young talent on their list.
No.
Ken Hinckley will moz their premiership chances if he signs an extension before the season's out.
No.
The Suns will win tonight. Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, we've got a preview to Matthew Richardson's tip. Very good. And Richo, Richmond will win the flag. Yes or no?
Didn't you ask me that last week?
No.
Yeah, he did. He picked some low-hanging fruit last week.
I need to be able to talk about that more. I can't answer
yes
that.
Yes or no?
No.
Oh, yes.
That's no, he's not answering the question.
But I'd like to go into it further.
Unfortunately, you can't. Yes or no? I don't want to make the rules. This is Sports Day, powered by Red Energy. You can make the switch today like Jared and I have. And Kia, Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. Richo's tips... and a lot more on Sports Day after this.
Day for Kia with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty and Red Energy. Born in pretty Melbourne, that's Red Energy.
So Richo's here for Macca's. Mac delivery for when Macca's craving hits. We'll get Richo's tips in just a sec as we head around the grounds for Dometic Mobile Living Made Easy. But Richo, I want to ask you, because Scoop has been on the money with Zach Williams, or at least he's been focusing on whether he will or won't leave. You're convinced Scooby's going, though?
He can't stay because they can't pay him.
Well, they can pay him if he's prepared to take less.
No. It doesn't matter whether they want to pay him 200 grand or 2 million bucks. They don't have the money to pay anyone over. So if he stays, then Kelly will have to go, and they'll probably have to lose Aiden Corr and maybe two more.
Right. Okay.
So he has to go.
Somebody has to go.
Yeah, someone big and potentially two.
What, to get themselves under the cap? They're having to forward pay pay Jeremy Cameron more? Or?
Well, Cameron's out of contract, which we know.
But he wouldn't be getting a lift. He wouldn't be getting
increase. He'll be getting heaps less, actually, because he's earning 1.4 this year, I think.
So the question to you, Richo, is if Zach Williams leaves, let's just say he's leaving, and he wanted to pick a side that hadn't won a flag recently. So he's not going to Richmond. He's not going to the West Coast. He's not going to the Dogs. And everybody could pay him, to a degree, the same amount of cash. Where would you, if you were his player manager, where would you tell him to go if winning a flag was his primary objective, given he's going to get about the same money wherever he goes?
And not one that's already won the last 3 or 4 years.
No, can't go to the Tigers, can't go to the West Coast, can't go to the Dogs.
You'd probably look at an up-and-coming teams that have shown something this year, so St Kilda. Carlton. I like what Carlton are doing. Their tools are extraordinary. Young De Conning comes in and he looked a player the other day. He looked like he didn't.
And Williams could play as a mid, Jared and Richo, couldn't he?
That's what I'm thinking. He's going to play as a mid. You're not going to pay huge money for a half-back flanker.
Yeah, I mean, he can go back there if you need someone too.
He can play on ball. They're pretty important, though, now, the way the game's played. Mm. Guys that can use the ball, run and carry and pace off half-back. I mean, the only... if you haven't got one, you can't win.
Well, Jared, you've been talking a lot about the Giants and how they've been slow from back 50 to front 50.
Yeah, but Zach Williams has played a hell of a lot when they've been slowed. He was one of the generators when they had the tsunami going, but now they're not. I mean, the bottom line with the Giants, if their accuracy was at competition average, they wouldn't be in the eight.
Yep.
They've got guys. They have not got a bad shot at goal at this stage amongst their primary goal kickers. I think Himmelberg's on mid-80s, 80%.
Yep.
Cameron. Jeremy Cameron's on mid-60s.
Toby Green's been accurate.
And Finlayson is on mid-70s. You compare that with some of the other guys who have a lot of shots at goal, and that's the reason why, for instance, Collingwood, if they had competition average, they'd be about three spots higher up on the ladder.
I mean, the discussion with the Giants is, you know, can they afford to lose a Williams when they've got midfielders coming out of their ears? You know, but you can always put Lockie Whitfield back to halfback, given he was all Australian there.
Yeah, so and he uses the ball so well.
They'll be able to move the magnets.
His style of play would suit St Kilda too.
They wouldn't have the cash.
Well, they stated today, didn't they, that they're going to go back and look for someone
else. Indeed, they did. Mm. Well, so that brings
I'm not sure where they're going to get it from, given the money that Jones and Hill are getting, but anyway.
Well, obviously,
if Basher Hawley retires, Richmond should have a look at him as well.
Oh, I think he'd be perfect to the Tigers.
Yeah.
Not allowed to go there. They're the rules.
That's the rule. Hey, should we have a look at the tips? Thanks to Richo and the great men at Dometic CFX3. Spend more time enjoying your adventure and less time worried about your drinks tonight. I think you've gone for the Suns tonight, Richo.
Yeah, I think the Suns tonight. I think it'll be low scoring and really tight. I just don't know where Essendon get their goals from. Now Townsend's out, who'd been a good contributor in that forward line.
Sydney GWS tomorrow night at Optus?
Giants.
Geelong and Port Adelaide at Metricon's a big game Friday night.
If it was in Adelaide, I'd say Port. I'm just leaning towards the Cats.
Really? Even after what they did to the Tigers, Port?
Yeah. I just think away from Port Adelaide, and there might be a small letdown after the Tigers game. I just love what the Cats are doing. They're looking good.
Saturday, three games. North Melbourne, Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Melbourne, Collingwood's a big game, Jared, as Melbourne try to get their way back into the eight.
Collingwood only had 12 shots at goal against the Crows. They just can't score at the moment. I think that Melbourne can win that game.
Half time, the last three games, they've had two goals.
Mm.
Jeez.
It's a big worry. Nice. And if they didn't kick 10 goals two last night, you never know.
Fremantle play Carlton. Dockers have won two in a row. Blues have lost two in a row.
Really tight game. I love what Freo are doing. Carlton just.
Bulldogs Adelaide.
Dogs.
St Kilda Essendon. Sunday.
Kilda.
West Coast Hawthorn is Sunday.
West Coast.
And Richmond Gold Coast at the Gabba on Monday.
I think Richmond there.
Richo. Richo's been here on Sports Day for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And Kea, how is your tipping going, by the way, Jared, this year?
I got 9 last week.
Did you? Really?
No, because he doesn't tip.
Oh, he doesn't.
So he always comes in and says, hey, Jared, who'd you tip? No, I got that right. Yeah, no,
9.
I tipped that right. Thanks, Richo. Great having you in.
Good to see you, boys.
Matthew Richardson here for McDonald's. Who are you tipping tonight between the Suns and the Bombers? All three of us have gone the Suns.
Maybe the Bombers will get home.
The Bombers are absolute certainties. This has been Sports Day for Red Energy. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Scoop, have you picked up your new house yet? Because if you haven't, you can still take advantage of the great service from our great sponsor, Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Welcome back to Sports Day, folks. Looking forward to this hour because we're going to be talking to a guy who suffered an horrendous injury, a brain injury that put his career at absolute risk. Owen Wright went from the top to the very bottom when he's hit a coral head in pipeline over in Hawaii a couple of years ago after being basically considered as the heir apparent to the world title, Scoop. So looking forward to having a good chat to Owen Wright. I hope he makes the Olympics. He's no guarantee to make the Olympics, but he's certainly in the squad.
Yeah, well, it was going to be, of course, Tokyo 2020. It's been pushed back to Tokyo 2021 and the first time that surfing's been involved in the Olympics. So lots to talk to Owen about. We'll head to Tassie as well, talk to the Chief, Brent Costello, as we do every Wednesday. Plenty to talk to the Chief about crossing codes with Belch and Sats north of the border.
Where are they going, the Brisbane Broncos? Who's in a worse state of flux? Is it the Broncos? Or is it the Crows? Because to me, I know you think the Crows are a basket case.
I think the
Broncos are in a world of more pain.
Why? Because 10 blokes go to the pub instead of the restaurant. Isn't that the rule up there? It's a bizarre rule. You're allowed to go to a
Yeah, but if you're in the restaurant, surely you know. Surely one of the 10 knows, no, boys, we're not going in there.
Jared,
not drinking pots. We're not fraternising with the fairer sex. We're just going to put our heads down and we're going to see if we can actually get ourselves out of this mess.
Yeah, Jared, if you had gone to the pub back in the 80s.
But it's not the 80s.
With the Melbourne or the Sydney boys.
It is not the 80s.
I know that.
It is the year of 2020 and we're in the middle of a pandemic.
But first on Sports Day, let's do this.
Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Awarded Canstar Blues most satisfied customers again.
And for those people just joining us, Scoop went big at the top of the first hour with a story that will reverberate around the AFL over the next few days, and that is the future of Joe Danaher.
Yeah, Brisbane Lions have entered the race for him. They're monitoring his progress.
How many are in the race, please?
Well, three at the moment.
So we've got Essendon, Sydney.
Yep.
Still Sydney?
Still Sydney.
Okay.
And Brisbane, who are all monitoring him for the right price and if he's going to play. Now, Essendon are saying that they think Danaher will play a scratch match in the next fortnight.
Yep.
So that gives him the best part of a month, if they don't play finals, to get back to some playing form. But, Jared, given how long he has been out for, he would need at least two games at a lower level, would he not?
Oh, I think he'd need more than that.
Okay.
I mean, they're not games. They're scratch matches.
Yeah, they're intense training sessions.
That's about it, intense training sessions.
So what would you think? Given his injury history, he's had groins and he's come back from a calf. Would he need three or four, you think, before you put him into the high octane stuff?
I'd be thinking three and possibly four. I mean, bottom line, that puts
him towards round 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only time he gets to impress is the last couple. So it's only been a calf. So we're saying his groins are okay.
I'm not saying anything because I don't know.
Right.
And every time you speak to Essendon, they say he's going really well.
Okay.
But he's been going really well.
So
quite unquote,
is he going to stay at Essendon? You know more about this than most. Is he going to stay in Essendon or is he still?
I think he'd be long odds to stay.
Okay.
Would be my opinion. But I thought he was at long odds to stay this time last year and they blocked the trade. So who knows? That was all for Tyre Power. And by the way, no late changes for the game tonight, the Suns and the Bombers, which is, 20 minutes away?
20 minutes away before the bounce.
And Phil Davis, who's looked pretty sore for a while now, and Shane Mumford, both going to miss the game for the Giants against Sydney tomorrow night.
I think they're being managed because they know they've got the Swans covered.
They don't have a lot of key forwards, the Swans, so Davis probably could take a week
off. He ended up in the forward line. How much more footy has he got left, you think?
I don't think there's much left. I don't know what his contract is. Well, he's been such a warrior for that club since the start.
You would know what his contract is.
I actually don't.
You know the contract of Zach Williams to the decimal point. Surely you know what Phil's is in a general term.
Yeah, Phil Davis' contract you put into Google usually comes up with something.
Mr. Google knows.
I can't get
that gives you something to work on for tomorrow.
I do have my little black book, but I've left it at home. In fact, I'm not sure where that black book is. I've got to find it. For Tyre Power, that was for keeping the Australian public safe on the road to difficult times. Tyrepower.com.au. You ever lose something at home, Jared? You've got no idea where
every
it is.
Every day.
Yeah. We've got more Sports Day on the way for Wilson Homes. Next, we'll talk to one of Jared's, or talk about one of Jared's great loves. That is surfing. Qualified Olympian Owen Wright is going to join us after this.
Scoop, 2020 was going to be the debut for the Olympics for surfing as an Olympic event.
That's right.
And it was going to be held on the coast of Japan. Now, Japan's not famous for surfing, but those who travel there regularly tell me that there's plenty of great waves in Japan.
Have you surfed there?
I haven't, but I have seen surf coming back from...
not many places on the globe you haven't surfed.
Well, I was coming back from Niseko, where I was up skiing, and I came back via train, and it runs right along the coast for about 30 or 40 k's. I'm not sure if that's the area where it was, but it was absolutely snow on the beach and guys surfing out in front of you. It was quite an extraordinary event.
How are you coping, by the way, just before we get to our next guest, not being able to surf?
I'm swimming. I'm doing one-and-a-half k's.
So not well is the answer.
Not well. Getting angrier by the minute. But we can now talk to Owen Wright, who is an Australian legendary surfer.
Yep.
And he's also an ambassador for Allianz, who have announced a three-year sponsorship deal for the Australian Olympic Committee's wellbeing program, which provides a range of mental health wellbeing initiatives for Olympians right throughout its Wellbeing Week and Wellness Engagement Series. And Owen Wright does join us from the not-so-sunny coast of New South Wales. Welcome to you, Owen.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're going pretty well. You're almost an unemployed surfer as we speak, given that the tour has been postponed, like a lot of professional sports. How are you filling in your time?
Oh, mate, that's a touchy subject. Yeah, it's almost unemployed. There's not much to be going on as far as competing goes, but plenty of training. And I've just been trying to utilise this time and look, get ahead in some of the things that I was a little bit behind in as far as small wave surfing goes. Sometimes I'm travelling so much that I don't get as much family time, so yep. I've been lapping that up.
And the sport itself and the industry itself, I mean, I've got reasonable insight. My brother's a CEO of Quicksilver. So it's a troubled sport like a lot of professional sports at this stage. Do you fear for the way it's going to present when it finally does come back?
The WSL's made a lot of changes, and I think there's a lot of fear in general in the world right now, and I guess it's surfing's right in there with it, especially with how it's going to look on the other side of this, when international travel is going to open back up, and hopefully, like you're mentioning, that surfing was supposed to be making its debut in the Olympics, and hopefully all that. It keeps on track for next year, but there's been some changes in surfing and hopefully they're for the better.
Yeah, well, that's going to be really interesting just to see how long the owners of the WSL can continue to support the go, because the original supporters of the WSL in all its forms were the surf industries, and like a lot of retail outlets, they're not doing it as easily as they once did. But let's talk about the Olympics and surfing in the Olympics. Have you surfed at Chiba Beach or Chiba Beach in Japan before, Owen?
I haven't surfed Chiba personally, but I've taken a little trip there last year to do a bit of prep for the Olympics coming up. And it wasn't breaking, so I drove in and drove out. But there can be some really good swells this time of year. And we've had the Australian team tracking the swells and giving us an average of what the waves were going to be like at this time next year.
So what sort of swell are we talking about? Is it a typhoon swell, or is it just your average swell coming off some sort of low depression sitting off Japan somewhere?
You know, it's pretty small, and then they get these typhoon swells. So usually with weather.
Yep.
And they can be pretty big too. So, we're just kind of waiting to collect all that data and see what comes through. But so far, there's like a bit of a mixed bag of waist high waves, and then those bigger typhoon swells that come through.
So, Owen, obviously it's a first for the Olympics in surfing, but how will you go about a year out preparing for an Olympics event? I mean, swimmers and runners often talk about how absolute they have to be and precise in their preparation a year out. What will you be doing? I know you're involved in the national squad for Surfing Australia.
Yeah, so I've been pretty proactive in realizing that I'm 6'3" and the other, the waves could be quite small, and so I've been working on my boards. I've got them down 3 or 4 inches, and got waves, got the boards ready for those wave conditions. I've also been, working with the Australian squad there and using their facility there, and we've been doing some aerial awareness training and getting a gymnastic coach in there to get me flipping around and doing some aerials, and that's kind of the way the sport's going, and that's been led the way with the likes of the Brazilian team, and I've been pretty proactive in getting that type of training underway.
So how many types of boards would you use in a regular year if you're travelling around the circuit in the WSL? How many different boards in different conditions would you go through?
So I usually go through close to 100 boards a year, which is seems like a lot.
100 a year, Jared.
It is a lot. Yeah, well, this last week I went through four boards in four surfs. So it's and when I say through them, I broke them. And that's what happens when you're pushing the limits and trying maneuvers that you don't usually try and trying to, you know, gain that every inch on the next guy.
My co-host is befuddled by all of this, Owen.
I'm interested in it.
I expect that, you know, the detail behind that is that you're surfing paper or wafer-thin surfboards that haven't got much fiberglass on them, and so they do snap under conditions that most surfboard scoop would probably just brush off. But
So to go faster than no fiberglass?
I suspect it's just the weight in them. Am I on the right track here, Owen?
Yeah, that's another good thing I need to fill in there. That we've got lighter glass jobs, lighter weight in general, and that's to basically have the boards move faster and if I'm going in the air, kind of get up there higher. So we do try and strengthen them up with some carbon fiber strips and things like that, but yeah, they're pretty lightweight and it's a high turnover rate. So it's a bit about, you know, it's kind of like buying a car or an F1 car. There's just these differences where that everything's lightweight and easy to break.
We're just your average Holden surfers down here. We get through one board every 3 or 4 years. Scoop.
Don't put we in this.
I've surfed with you, Owen, at Winky or in the same water as you, and seen you in your 3 to 5 foot Winky. That's something that you can tear apart, and I've also, I actually was watching on TV when you slaughtered the Fiji Open at Tavarua, where you know, it was remarkable, one of the all-time great highs of surfing, and no doubt one of the great highlights of your career. But you've also had a couple of major setbacks, one that most who follow surfing would know, and that's when you had a savage wipeout at Pipeline and took a really bad blow to the head.
Yeah, I took a TBI and a severe concussion to the head, and that was quite a long journey back, and that's where I've teamed up with Allianz there and come together and to talk about some of those fears and that I've faced coming back to surfing and to open up about those and to kind of share with the greater public there that, you know, there's people that are coming, you know, at the elite level and they've got these fears and these anxieties and things that they feel like are going to, you know, wipe them out and take their livelihoods, but to just not give up, you know, and to keep pressing forwards and don't let those things stop you. So, yeah, it's been an interesting journey coming back from that head injury, and I had some anxieties getting back into the ocean, especially getting back into those bigger waves like Fiji and Cloudbreak and Chopu there. And I had some, you know, it was like gripping through my chest. But I just kept working through it and reached out, asked for some help and got through those stages. And now I feel like I'm back there right at the top.
Well, take us through some of those deeper moments. From 1 minute, you're getting tens at Cloudbreak, you're surfing one of the most nasty waves in the world when it's getting to the size it was that day. One mistake and you're going to hurt yourself, and that eventually did happen. You find yourself in a hospital bed, unable to move for a period of time. Did you ever lose faith that you were going to come back?
You know, I lost faith plenty of times, and there was, I always kind of came back around, and I always had good people to bounce off, and I there was times where there was, you know, it wasn't working out and I was like, this is an impossible task to come back. But as much as I lost faith on coming back, is as much as I didn't give up as well. So that was probably the biggest thing that I did learn, was just to just keep going forward, even though the task could seem impossible, is that take those small steps. And in those early stages, a lot of people, and you might know, with being in that surf world, there was a lot of the meeting with some of my brand sponsors and a lot of my close friends. They thought that was it. There was no there was no Owen coming back again. So, you know, and that was probably the times that affected me as well. But I just stuck at it, and yeah, that it just kept turning corners, kept putting one foot in front of the other, and worked my way all the way back, and I've had a few wins now too. So I feel that was all worth it.
Certainly did. And you come back, you won the Champions Tour. Of course, at Snapper Rocks on the Gold Coast, your third WSL title. Jared, listening to these sort of stories, like, do you think not the average surfer, but a surfer like you, who's a big part of their life socially, sees it as a dangerous sport?
I think it's like a lot of those sports. You know it's dangerous, but you never really process the danger until you get injured. Now, and we're not talking about an average injury that you suffered, Owen. The TPI, as you referred to it, that is a serious life-threatening injury. Most people associate life-threatening injuries with drowning. You know, surfing, you can have a broken bone, you can break your ribs, you can dislocate your shoulders, but you know, you get knocked in the head, you hit a coral head, you're going to do some serious damage. But the good news for us all here, Owen, is that you and your sister, who are both great surfers, are now both great surfers again.
Yeah, well, it's one of them things that in life, and no matter where you are, you're going to have things that are going to challenge you, and whether that's a wipeout or whether that's a situation that's very stressful, you know, there's a lot of things to be said about getting back up, keep going, one foot in front of the other, and I've had my fair share of challenges, and I'm sure I've got plenty to come, and so is my sister, and that's kind of where how we like to roll, and just keep moving forwards, and try not to let those fears just stop you, that's Tyler and I back out there and into it.
One final one, if I can, Owen, because it's always struck me as it was nearly the greatest hour or two of live sporting TV that I've ever appreciated. And it was that time about, it must have been 6 to 8 years ago when the Swell turned up at Cloud Break when there was the professional tournament was on, and the judge decided to delay it because the Swell got too big and all the big wave surfers turned up, and just because the event was being televised, they kept on televising it, and it was probably the two best hours of televised surfing I've ever seen and maybe has ever been in the world. And yet there was a really controversial decision. You're a big wave surfer as well as being a big wave tour surfer. You also have conquered, you know, serious waves, but that day was a challenge, and maybe in some respects a mistake, not to allow the guys that enjoy professional surfers, that enjoy the big challenge of the big waves on the dangerous reefs, to let them play itself out rather than cancelling. What was your thoughts when that happened?
You know, there's definitely those two sides of the coin there. There was the side where we all turned up and we didn't have the right equipment, the safety equipment, we didn't have helmets, life vests, big boards, the rest of it, because we're turning up for a professional event, whereas we had all these big wave surfers turn up and they had all the
gear,
the life vests, the helmets, the big boards to handle those conditions.
Yep.
So we were at this situation where a couple guys did and a few guys didn't. And if the WSL said, yeah, go ahead, there would be some people that wouldn't be able to participate purely because they didn't have the equipment.
Mm.
And then others that really wanted it. So there was a bit of turmoil amongst the surfers. But at the end of the day, we decided, along with the WSL, that it would be best, you know, that they weren't fully equipped either for that size of condition. It was absolutely enormous.
It
and
was.
Like you say, one of the spectacles in surfing. And look, a lot of us did go out and surf that afternoon.
Yeah.
But a lot didn't. So, like you say, there was that two sides of the coin. My own opinion, it would have been pretty nice to just at least be in that environment and have a go, and have the competition jersey on, and just to see the way people react. But obviously, you know, after having an injury like mine, I do see the side of it now where you do need the proper safety equipment. And that big Wave World Tour that we have right now, they have all that there. They have two jet skis per surfer. They have a jet ski picking up the board, a jet ski picking up the surfer. They have, you know, jet skis in the lineup. They've got all inflatable vests on. So the steps they take now are to preserve accidents like mine from happening and to preserve the life of the surfers. So.
Owen, been great having a chat to you. We wish you well for the rest of your professional career and your life, and it's great to know that you're back and firing on all cylinders. So really appreciate your time, and good luck in the waves in Japan, in the Olympics, when it gets done, and let's hope they're a bit bigger than 2 to 3 foot, which gives you a fair income chance.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks, mate. I'm gunning for it. Jeez.
Owen Wright there joining us for Allianz. 12 months to go until Tokyo 2020, now Tokyo 2021. Allianz supporting its ambassadors to open up about mental health journeys and talk about the importance of mental strength. And that man there, Jared, has that in spades.
No doubt, he's
been to hell and back and come back at the peak of his powers. And him and his sister, Tyler, and his brother, Mikey, I think, is on the Amateurs Tour as well, doing great things in the surfing world. This is Sports Day for Wilson Holmes. Next, we head to Tassie to chat with our man from Win TV. The Chief.
The Brent. Chief is going to join us. Don't forget, Scoop Owen Wright was there for Polaris Off-Road Australia. You can follow them on Instagram today. Welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Now for Australian-made logo, be sure it's Aussie. It's time to join the great voice of Tasmania himself,
yes.
Brent Costello from Win Tasmania. And you wouldn't believe who's just popped in the door.
What's he doing here?
Clearly he's left his keys behind on the desk. The other great voice of Tasmania, Matthew Richardson, is back with us. Welcome here, Richo.
I just want to speak to the Chief.
Well, the Chief, Brent Costello, joins us.
I listen on the way home every week, but I thought I want to listen to the Chief tonight.
Welcome to you, Chief. Meet Richo.
Chieftain.
Oh, no. Don't need to meet Richo. We're former teammates for wearing the map back in Relive the Rivalry.
That's right.
14, I reckon it would have been.
At so, North Hobart.
We have played a game together.
Yes, we have.
So let's get down to business, given that you've just declared the fact that you've worn the map together. we are down to our final five, I'm told, for the Tassie NBL team nickname. And at this stage, nothing is inspiring.
Didn't Mountaineers, Richo have a name for this?
Timbers, Jack Jumpers, Tridents and Pride. If you just rolled off the tongue you played for the Maps, why don't you simply call it the Tassie Maps?
Well, it's just as good as any of those you mentioned, Jared. Nothing's blown me away either, I must admit.
I tell you this right now, Chief. If that team ends up being called the NBL Jack Jumpers, they will never get to the first game.
Chief, can you basically fill us in on what a jack jumper is?
Yeah, it's. I think you do have them in Victoria, but they're pretty common, more common here in Tassie. But basically, an ant that has a bit of a bite to it. So, that's basically what it is. And I thought it was a bit of a joke when it was first bandied around, but obviously enough people have voted for it to be a contender.
Righto, Richo. Out of 10, give us a rating. The Tassie Tridents.
5.
The Tassie Pride.
6.
The Tassie Timbers.
You don't mind that. That's the best so far. 6.5.
6.5. The Jack Jumpers.
Nah, not into it.
0. The Wilderness.
Well, considering I bought up the Wilderness when you asked me about 6 weeks ago.
Shocking.
That's a 9.5.
That's a 9.5.
That's what we're known for down there.
No.
The Mountaineers.
Yeah, don't mind that. That's all right.
How many?
The Wilderness 7. And the Mountaineers.
Okay, let's go with you, Brent. This is how we're going to do it. It's a democratically elected name. The Tassie Tridents.
That's the best of a bad bunch, I reckon, so far.
Yeah, well, give us a number.
7.
7. Pride.
Yeah, Pride, I like. I'll give it 7 as well. That's based on the Tassie flag and the line on that. So
okay.
If it's going to be a line, I don't mind it. Pride, yep.
Timbers?
3.
3, that's gone. Jack Jumpers?
Nah, 0. Like
Jack Jumpers has come up with a grand total of 0 from 2 of our finest. The Wilderness, it's currently on a 9.5.
I prefer wild than wilderness, but not too bad. 7.
7. And the Mountaineers?
Yeah, 6.
So 6 and 6 is 12. 16.5 for the Wilderness Stroke Wild. Jack Jumper's a big fat. Timber's got a 9.5. Pride got a 13. And Trident's got a 12. Which at this stage means the Wild Stroke Wilderness is a clear winner at 16. Now, I'm going to just go head-to-head. Tassie Maps or the Wilderness?
Well, I know, having played, you know, junior footy for Tassie in the Teal Cup and then played one State of Origin game back in 93, we actually used to call ourselves the Mappers.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
The Mappers.
Well, just put the Mappers in.
The Mappers. When we'd training, we'd call ourselves the Mappers.
I like that.
The Mappers.
It's authentic, Matthew.
It is. Out of 10, like Richo.
The Mappers is the best, yeah, out of that.
You're giving that, you gave Wilderness a 9.5, so you're giving that
I'm
a 10.
I'm giving it a 10, the Mappers.
Okay, Chief, how many for the Mappers?
Oh, I'm going to back you. No, I just wonder what the mascot would be. What runs out with the team?
A map.
If you're the Mappers. Big map of Tassie.
Just a big map of Tassie with a head.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't mind it. All right, let's lock it in.
Okay, well, I'll let you run with that on the Wind News. Richo's going with the Mappers. AFL footy in Tassie this season now looking less likely. I don't even think if Gutsy put his hand up that they'd end up going down there.
Well, Gutsy bobbed up today, actually, in a press conference, and I've got a few lines here to read to you guys. Borders and restrictions we have in place, certainly to the rest of the month, which we know. So AFL can't be played here before then, which we already know. They're going to keep looking at it. He's going to have another announcement on Friday in terms of borders, so we'll watch on with interest with that. But speaking to Cricket Tasmania yesterday, the ground's ready to go. The goalposts aren't up. The sight screens are down. They could host footy in a couple of days' time if they had to, but that window before they have to get it ready for cricket season's closing rapidly. So it's looking less and less likely, isn't it, unfortunately?
Women's cricket in your neck of the woods, Chief. What is the latest there? We chatted to Peter Siddle last week. What about in the women's form of the game?
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of days, Sam, because obviously the women's game has grown massively in the last 4 or 5 years right across the country since the Big Bash has come in, the Women's Big Bash. But here we've had a women's competition, a Premier League competition for the last 10 years and hasn't really been reviewed since it sort of came in. So Cricket Tasmania's had a real good look at it. Kristen Beam, you guys would be familiar with, used to play for Australia, and a good Tassie girl, had to go and play a cricket in Victoria because we didn't have a team here at that stage. But she did the review, pulled it all apart, and has recommended we only have a top-tier competition of only 4 teams. So really having the best of the best playing against each other. They made the good point yesterday, Cricket Tasmania, that you wouldn't have a 14-year-old young boy, for example, facing Riley Meredith coming in to bowl at him. So why would you have a 14-year-old girl facing Belinda Vaccarera, for example, who's one of our fast women bowlers down here? So don't mind that as a point, but 4 teams, it's pretty light on, but they're going to have a second tier or second grade competition below that as well. So I can see why they've done it. It's probably a good move.
Brent Costello from Wind Tasmania is with us on the line. Last time we spoke, Brent, you were going to follow up a major breaking story potentially on the Sydney to Hobart and whether or not anybody from Melbourne in a boat, whether it be from Sydney or from anywhere else around the world, was going to be able to land in Tasmania when they actually arrived up the Derwent. Where did we get with that unbelievably good story we gave you?
Well, I don't muck around, Gerald. I go straight to the top. I went to the Cruising Yacht Club of Australia, got the Commodore, got him for a chat. Didn't want to come on camera. Just wanted to have a talk over the phone, which is fine. But basically, it's business as usual at the moment. They're having regular meetings with the state government, the Royal Yacht Club of Tasmania and the Cruising Yacht Club, all meeting together regularly. But as far as I see it right now, it's all going ahead. But obviously, things are changing rapidly with COVID-19. So no doubt, if it does go ahead, there'll be certain restrictions in place, but he didn't have too much to add at this stage, other than that it's business as usual.
Chief Brent Costello there for Trusted Australian Made logo. To be sure, it's authentically Australian made. Richo.
He didn't get a kick in that game we played, Chief.
Oh, there's a low blow.
I tell you what, you could have brought that up when he was on. What kind of player was the Chief? I had him as a sort of a nuggety back pocket that sort of dour defender, didn't let his opposition player near it.
He played in the terraces, the Chieftain. Just skirted around the outside.
He's a wingman.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Look for the Trusted Australian Made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian Made.
Richo's
just giving it to the Chief. And that's going to be replayed next week. More Sports Day still ahead. We go Crossing Codes with Badge and Sats. I wonder if they'll actually ask us a question about the AFL or will it just be as usual, all rugby league?
At least we can finally ask them about the Broncos.
We'll find out after this.
Righto, time for our regular segment with the boys from down south. We are crossing codes with Sam and Jared. How are you, gentlemen?
We're going great guns here, boys. It's great to have you on board. In fact, every time I talk to you guys, I try and come up with a new word just to self-educate, if you
sounds
like.
Smart.
And today's word, gents, is rabble. And I looked up the definition of the word rabble, and underneath there was a number of words. Two, in fact, Brisbane Broncos. There was an Anthony Seibold. There was Paul White. There was even a Carl Morris photo. And I guess when you join it all together, you just come up with a football club that has lost its way completely.
Haven't we taken the pressure off the AFL in the last 7 days? I know I teed off a couple of weeks ago.
We were wallowing in our non-breaches, weren't we, Sam, a few weeks ago? Oh, it's all changed.
I mean, but, we only had a couple of coaches play tennis. You've had half a dozen. You've had a dozen blokes go to the pub.
Was there a picture of Wayne Bennett there as well?
Yeah. He's been pushed down the line, Wayne. What was even more interesting is his wife doesn't understand that he made a blue.
No, his wife does, but his girlfriend doesn't.
I see.
He was asleep in the meeting. Despite the fact he was actually on the committee, he fell asleep in that part about you're not allowed to go out in the general public.
Even though that he was one of the committee members that made the rules, funnily enough. But, yeah, with the Brisbane Broncos, I can't remember, and I don't know whether from AFL terms, AFL years gone by, I can't remember a club that has been in this much turmoil in such a small space of time.
In any sport.
Well, we've got a club, Adelaide Crows, who were in the grand final only a couple of years ago. They are the worst side the comp's seen for a long, long time. But the club itself, the club itself hasn't really imploded, has it? There's been cracks, etc. But, I mean, the chairman is about to leave, but of his own volition. He's not being forced out. There may be a change at the top, but...
Hang on, are you saying there haven't been cracks at the Adelaide Crows? Come on, Jared.
There's been cracks.
They've been the definition of a rabble for the last 5 years.
Tell us about the cracks.
I don't think they've been a rabble.
Jared.
Just because you broke a story about a camp doesn't mean that everything you say has been absolutely fact.
Did you break the story about the camp?
In comparison to the Brisbane Broncos, I think they're a well-run oil machine.
Cat fight. Everyone loves a cat fight.
I can't believe that Jared's trying to say the Adelaide Crows haven't been a rabble. They made a grand final in 2017. Everything that they have touched since has gone backwards, and they're winless. And anyway, if they want to get any worse,
they can only aspire to be a Brisbane Bronco.
That's actually a good debate, in fact. Who's having a worse year, the Broncos or the Adelaide Crows?
Or the Victorian State Government. Oh, sorry, that's
the Brisbane Broncos are actually asked the New Zealand Warriors for loan players.
Oh, seriously?
That's how bad they're going at the moment.
That is death. That is a shocking indicator.
So what's going to happen here, boys? I mean, it's been reported in the Courier Mail that the police are investigating this, but from a footy standpoint, where do we sit?
They think the Broncos themselves self-reported about a week ago when they heard that this had happened, and they thought the players were okay because they were going to a restaurant, which at that point was okay.
Yep.
But the restaurant...
Separate to the licensed area,
When it's attached to a pub, and if players, in fact, have gone into the licensed area, gone for a bet, gone to the pokies... whatever else, then they have breached. And that's the concern, and that's what the NRL is investigating. So I don't know what could happen here. Is that going to be a minor breach or a major breach?
They're allowed to go to a restaurant, are they?
You are allowed to go to restaurants, yes.
But you can't go to a pub.
Can't go to a pub because of more... In restaurants, there's... You know, of course, you can sit over there and only four of you at one table, whatever else, and keep your distance. But at pubs, it's just sort of open slather, so you can't. No, it's part
How would that have gone back in your day, Jared? You can go to restaurants, but you can't walk across the road to the pub.
Back in the 80s, it was actually mandatory. You had to go to pubs. That was just part and parcel of playing, particularly after the event. So how does St. Peter get the competition out of this little sticky mess?
It's not just
a mess for the Broncos. It's a mess for everybody.
Well, he hits Tevita Pangai Jr., the Brisbane Bronco wannabe bikie who attended an opening of a barbershop on the weekend, which is linked to a bikie gang, the Mongols. And he's hit him with a fine. They've hit him with a $30,000 fine, and he's indefinite. Suspended indefinitely. They don't know how long until he's allowed to play. He definitely will not play this year at all. So if the Brisbane Broncos actually officially terminate his contract, he won't be able to link with another club for the rest of the year. So he sent a pretty stern message to the rest of the players that he's not going to tolerate it.
Well, it does seem as if he's got a lot of financial nous, and it would appear as if one way he's going to rewrite the books of the NRL is whacking people with fines. Didn't he give Cleary a $20,000 fine also for having a crack at the umpires?
Yeah, Latrell Mitchell got 30 and Wayne Bennett got a $20,000 slap on the wrist. The good news for Brisbane is that they good chance of hosting the AFL Grand Final. Is it still on the cards, lads?
Absolutely. It's got my full support. It's got Scoop's full support. There's a lot of people sort of trying to wedge their way into the debate. But there's
go on, Jared. Just use the G word. They're all guessing.
Well, they're clearly guessing.
No one knows where it's going to be.
But the reality is this competition wouldn't be having a bloody grand final if it wasn't for Queensland. So I have got absolutely I just can't believe we are not going to repay the good-natured decisions of the Queensland government and
Anastasia,
give them a lot.
We're both
but
Anastasia
surely
fans now.
Victorians would love it to be closer and your good friends just down the road in South Australia. Wouldn't you love it to go to the Adelaide Oval?
I couldn't care less where the grand final is. Could you?
Well, I don't really mind, but I think we have got a moral obligation to Brisbane.
I agree completely.
And that's a serious perspective. I'd love it to be at Optus Stadium. I think that's the best stadium in the country. Others think the Adelaide Oval. But we are completely indebted to Queensland, the Queensland people, the Queensland government. So I'm not sure what the debate's about.
Hey, Sats, given that you've got the Barry White voice going at the moment, we may investigate that later. You might as well introduce the Smooth Mover.
Oh, Smooth Mover,
On Sports Day, it's time for the Jared Healy, the smoothest mover of the week.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to sound
not
like Jared Healy.
Smooth right now.
Hey, the velvet voice.
What is going on with your voice, Sats?
Oh, I've been crook all week.
Oh.
Lined up for 3 hours
he
for a COVID test on Monday.
He was karaokeing all night at
Might Wookie's be a little bit of that
party.
As well.
When did you get your result back?
Monday night.
Oh, that's a quick turn.
I was negative for COVID. I was positive for a lot of other things, though, but I'm not going to publicise that.
Like
now, the smoothest mover, guys, Tommy Hawkins.
All legal. Gosh,
the good-looking Tommy Hawkins. He's He's lined up in how many games in about 19 or 20 days, hasn't it?
Yeah, four games in that period of time. He's on fire.
He's been great, Jared, and I know everyone's been saying that he looks leaner. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
He's lost a couple of kids.
I do, particularly when comparing what I see in the mirror.
he was often lauded, boys, as a few years ago when he was dominating Jared as just being that stay at home, stand and deliver, use his strength kind of forward. He's adapted with the times.
He's a hell of a player. We might as well play the great highlights of Thomas Hawkins.
Selwood read it brilliantly, kicked it to the square, and Hawkins takes the mark, plays on, ramps through another goal, and that's 5 goals for Tom Hawkins.
Yes, he's having a fantastic season. He's leading or co-joint leader for the John Coleman medal for the most goals kicked. But I must admit, fellas, I was slightly disappointed when I read in the Herald Sun a couple of days ago that a league legend has applied to be the new CEO of the Brisbane Broncos, and I was expecting to hear this name.
And now, the most prestigious award in the history of Sports Day. It's time to present the Sattler.
He's only got Sattler in cover. Burton Sattler, a great race Sattler. A try-saving tackle that could turn the match. That's the greatest covering tackle I've seen in 20 years of broadcasting in a pressure match like this.
Well, I was hoping it was a Sattler. I was hoping it was one of you two fine gentlemen. No, it was a bloody TV host called Ben Eichen, but... We're going biblical tonight, Scoop, for the Sattler.
Gray with a kick. It's off the boot here, and it's a great bit of work, too, by Moses to hang on to the ball. Blake's Johnson. With him. Johnson's coming. And Moses didn't get the pass and got thrown over the touchline. And Johnson is revving up the break the bleachers.
Yeah, Moses got dragged down by Johnson. A fine tackle indeed.
It certainly was. Was that worthy of the Sattler?
Yeah, it was. It was horrific conditions in Sydney on the weekend. They played It was, they looked flooded. Jubilee Oval looked flooded.
Plenty of rain.
Yeah, it was plenty of rain. And so it was a good chase by Sean Johnson, the Kiwi, to bring down Mitchell Moses. Yeah, so
gentlemen,
I think it's worthy.
My daughter, as we close, has just moved to, where is she? She's in Double Bay, sharing a place with a couple of girlfriends.
Nice spot, Double Bay.
Who should she actually barrack for? Now, I know the Roosters are probably the home team in that area, but who should she? She's not getting on the absolute bandwagon of the Roosters. Who should she be supporting this time around?
The Rabbitohs. They're the mortal enemies of the Roosters. Because it's not far from Double Bay.
Yeah, and they need all the support they can get.
Okay. Get a bit of Roosters, money behind them.
Roosters have a lot of supporters. They just unfortunately don't turn up to their games, and we did have crowds at the games.
Does your daughter want to go to games and have a great time, or when she can go, and or go to, you know, with her friends, or does she want to get on a winner?
No, I think she'd just probably prefer to party if that's... if that's not putting too much of a
stretch. People don't actually go to the games in the NRL, do they?
No.
That's, cheap from you, Scoop.
Wow. We better take your Brownlow off you as well.
Judging 10 weeks in a row, and that's the only line you've had, Sam.
You know, that's what I am. I'm not
and
a
you still haven't looked up the stats on who gets the biggest numbers every year.
Hey, boys, speaking of the Roosters, the Storm play them tomorrow night. I don't think Cam Smith will be there again.
No, he's not.
Have they shown anything?
To the Broncos.
Have they shown anything else to you? Like, have they added something to that side? The fact that they've shown that they can win and play well without him.
Yeah, they've got a couple of really good players now. There's a young Kiwi kid by the name of Tino Fasua-Mala'awi, and he's 20 years of age, and he is going to be a superstar.
But he's leaving.
He's leaving to go to the Gold Coast. But this year, if Cameron Smith's out, they've shown they've got another couple of key players that play really important roles.
But Cameron Munster's out this week, guys. Yeah, he is too. The Roosters are in the hot seat, in the box seat, to win that one. Hey, gentlemen, we're going to have to let you go. It's been another interesting night. Joining us on Sports Day from Sports Day Victoria. Thanks for coming
along,
boys, fellas.
And great to have your company, fellas. This has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle.
Geez, they didn't like the line about no one going to the games.
Probably heard it once or twice before.
No, that's true.
Sam.
See you tomorrow, everyone.
Driving us to sleep.